All right, well, good morning. If you guys would, have a seat. Welcome in. It's always wonderful to see a crowd here on a summer morning, so thank you guys for being here today. I'm really excited. This is our second week in our Storyform series. This is one of my favorite things that we do every year. We really want to, in the best way possible, lean into the stories of our community. Today we have a really special treat. We have an opportunity to hear from a part of our community, of our church family, that is actually doesn't live here in the States, but they actually live in Albania. And so in just a minute, I'm going to have Jacob and Allison Kemp come up, and we're going to listen to them and hear more about what's going on in their lives and hear their story. But by way of introduction, I also want to say we are doing something that we've kind of dreamed of this for a while, and it's finally actually, we've launched it this year. We are asking for everybody in our community to participate in something where you would go onto our website, theparksa.org, and there's a little click up at the top that says Storyformed in the top navigation. Click on Storyform, and when you go on there, you'll see already there's about 15, 20 people that have posted their stories. Their stories of faith, maybe it's a story of rededicating their life to Christ. I was late in my submission, but I did it yesterday because I knew I was going to have to get up today and ask you to do this. And so if you've not already done that, first of all, you can go on there today, and I highly encourage this afternoon, just go on and read these stories. It's so encouraging just to see people talking about how God has come into their life, how they've realigned their lives to the heart of Christ. But then I also just invite you to add your story to that. We're doing this as a hope of something that will continue on past our Storyform series, but will continue to inform long-term going forward what our community looks like, the kind of things that people can read about and the stories that we can tell. Ultimately, we are a people that have a unique story, but our story is found in the greater story of God. And ultimately, we want to ask the questions of how does our story interact with the story that God has been playing out for millennium and that he continues to play out in the lives of those of us who follow him today as he continues to renew all things around us. And so I'm really excited to introduce you. For some of you guys, Jacob and Allison will be new friends. For some of you, you've known them forever. But I'm really excited to catch up and hear what is going on with them. So let me invite Jacob and Allison Kemp to come up, and we are going to share stories.
Yeah.
What a gentleman.
You go closer. I'm going to be on the outskirts.
It's Scott's scary, so.
Yeah.
I better sit here.
You should sit there. That's great. Okay.
I just like that shirt so much.
Jacob really likes my shirt with the flowers on it. I'm thinking about getting rid of it. All right. Not because of you, just anyway, I'm on the fence. We can vote about it later. Okay. So we were talking about this, and I was sharing with Jacob and Allison that this last year has been a year for us of actually a lot of new community, which has been great. We've made a lot of new friends this year as our church community has grown. And so for many of us, you guys are dear friends. For others, you are, we're introducing you today. So what I'm going to do is I wanted to break this down kind of into a little bit of a past story, into what their present ministry looks like, and then where they're heading in the future. So I want to hear all of that today. And so I'm just going to start off with a very basic question. Who are you? Who are the Kemps? Oh, I'll give you my whole question. Who are the Kemps, and how did two Aggies end up in Albania? Okay. Do that in 3 minutes.
Okay.
3.5 minutes.
We're Jacob and Allison Kemp. We grew up in San Antonio here. I feel like I need to talk fast now. We grew up in San Antonio.
Sorry, I didn't mean to rush you. Take your time.
We did indeed go to A&M. That's just the beginning or small part of our story back there. Allison wanted to be a missionary for a long time. I didn't at all. So it was really her just longing to see the nations come to Christ. She went with YWAM to China, Mongolia as a college student, and then was like, hey, I want to do this forever. So then we went to A&M. After A&M, we went back to Mongolia for a year, which I was like, let's get it out of our system, never go anywhere ever again. I loved it, felt like the Lord called me into full-time missions. Allison hated it, didn't want to do it ever again. So then we were in Albania.
So we went to seminary in Dallas, and we decided after seminary, like, we needed to just spend some regular time. And I wanted to move, like, to the house next door to my mom, stay in Texas the rest of my life. That was it. After doing Mongolia and feeling, like, utterly broken by the experience. So that gave us time at the park. We spent 5 years in San Antonio. Jacob was a hospital chaplain, and I was a counselor at a children's psychiatric hospital. And then somewhere, actually, I was driving to the Eisenhower's house for a women's Bible study with the park. And I drove past the airport at their old house. And when I drove past the airport, got this really clear. God was like, okay, it's time to get on a plane. Like, you need to start getting going. Jacob had been wanting to go for a while. And so it finally moved my heart to be like, okay, I think I'm ready. And he was patient. God was patient with me. Jacob was patient with me. So that was a 5-year process. And then God called us to Greece to plant a church. And then
that didn't work out.
No, it didn't work out.
If you were prayed about that a lot, though.
We prayed about it a lot. We really thought we heard the call of God to go to Greece and work with the Roma gypsies. And it felt super clear to us. And then we didn't get our residency permits. Over the course of like 8-9 months, we were denied a bunch of times. And it was really difficult to discern, is this God redirecting us? Or did we never hear from God? Or is this should we keep trying? Do we need to keep having faith and keep pursuing Greece?
It was a really humbling time where I felt like we fell flat on our faces.
Yeah. So we had to move back to San Antonio. We rented like a little crappy apartment. We had 3 kids at the time. So that was all. Honestly, it was my worst fear. In this whole process, my worst fear was that we wouldn't get into Greece because we knew the residency process was tricky. And we had to raise support. We had to sell our house. We had to be basically ready to go before you find out if you're going to get the residency permit or not. So that just felt like God was just pushing me closer and closer to this cliff of what if we don't get it? And all along it was like, that's the worst thing that could happen in my mind. And then it happened and I was super disappointed with God. I mean, obviously my kids were healthy. It wasn't the worst thing, but in this process,
Jesus totally dropped the ball on that one.
Yeah, it did. It felt like Jesus dropped the ball. And I was like, we did all this. We did the big hard step of saying yes. We moved out. We quit our jobs that we really liked and we were faithful. And then you were not was kind of the thing that was in my mind through that process. That led us into 5 months back in San Antonio, like I said, in a crappy apartment in the medical center, with the kids sleeping in closets. And, then Albania popped up, which we had never heard of Albania. And our organization was like, hey, there's people working with that same Roma Gypsy people group. They're just 5 hours north of Greece. Why don't you look into that? And we were sort of desperate because we looked desperate. I mean, we just were. We were desperate to figure out what God wanted. So we talked to those people one time and then we moved there 3 weeks later. This is a longer version, but this is part.
Great. That's okay. Good.
Then we moved there 3 weeks later. We had never been to Albania. We literally did a Google search, where is Albania? And we decided really quick, like, we just got to get out of here. So then when we got to Albania, we rented an apartment and I don't like see visions a lot. That's not something God does for me, but we had to sign a lease on this apartment, which was nerve wracking because we still weren't sure if we were supposed to be there. And we sign a lease. And then that very next morning after we sign the lease, I feel like after we take this big step of faith, I'm coming down the stairs in the morning and our kids were like 6, 4, and 2. And I'm coming down the stairs and I just have this picture of all 3 of them hitting their hands on the like door frame above the stairs, just super clear from God, like, all 3 boys are going to be in this house until they're big enough to touch the top of the stairs. And it felt like such a gift from God of like, okay, this is actually where I want you. Like, I'm going to plant you here until your boys are that big, which seemed impossible, but now there's handprints
Man,
all over.
Those handprints kill me.
There's handprints all over it. So yeah, that was our act of obedience.
Yeah. That's fantastic. I think if you get a chance to talk with Jacob and Allison, and I hope you do get a chance, they're going to be here in town for another 5 or 6 weeks, I think. If you get a chance to talk with them more personally, I think you'll find that, like, what I love about you guys is I think you're doing something really extraordinary. I don't think either one of you have the you have the humility to understand that God's been moving through you and there's been failures and all kinds of different things that have happened along the way. And I think that's what you'll find when you talk to Jacob and Allison is not like somebody that presents themselves as like superhero missionaries as much as more of like God just continues to use us and we continue to try to follow that. And so I love that about the two of you. And I feel like that's been a faithful part of who they've been for as long as I've known them. And I'm going to give you a little bit of the ending, but I would love for you to meet with Jacob and Allison Kemp. And I also would love for you to give them money. Because what they do, they are fully support raised in what they do. And so I'm just going to get that awkwardness out of the way. So please spend time with them and please give them money. Okay. You can do that right now if you want. Not right now, but maybe in 25 minutes. So feel free in case, I don't know. But we've been supporting them for a long time. I do want to talk a little bit about the Parks relationship to Jacob and Allison. because I think as a community, it's important to understand. Next week, we're going to be sending a big gaggle of teenagers about 5 miles south of here to Blueprint Ministries, and we'll be rebuilding homes for people that live below the poverty level. We're going to commission them next Sunday, and we're going to send them to go do that work at Blueprint. In the very exact same fashion, our community has prayed over and sent Jacob and Allison to Albania. And over the years, it's been sometimes bumpier than other times, but we want to continue to support and love them as a part of our community. And so the same way that those teenagers working on those homes will be just, you know, in a different part of the city, but still a part of our family, Jacob and Allison are a part of our family, and their family is a part of our family, even though it's a little further than 5 miles away, 5,000, I have no idea. But we want to just make sure to continue to love and support them and encourage them in the work that they're doing. And so let me ask you guys about the work that you're doing. I'm realizing now we were going to show a video.
Yeah.
Do we have the capacity of showing that video? Let's do that now. Video. Hey, roll clip.
So many joys that come to mind, but at the same time, there's so much brokenness and so much suffering and oppression. It's right there in front of us.
Roma dialect spoken in their homes does not have words for hope, forgiveness, or a savior. They don't know hope at all. They don't know what hope is.
If you're told all your life that you are nothing, and you begin to believe that about yourself.
There's so much prejudice inside society against them.
It's so hard for them to see how God, the Bible, sees them.
Part of our goal at House of Hope is to teach them that they're made in the image of God, and there's intrinsic value in that.
Our hope is that when they step foot into these doors, they get to experience Jesus in a really tangible way.
The idea of Shlipi Shvese, or House of Hope, our community center, is telling people about how great Jesus is. But also, when your neighbor is cold, giving them a jacket. When your neighbor doesn't have anything to drink, to eat, you meet some of those physical, emotional, social needs, and present the gospel at the same time.
One of the ways House of Hope serves the broader missionary community is providing a gateway for both Albanian believers from the local churches and other missionaries from other organizations to come in and immediately have access and ability to serve Roma communities.
My name is Alma. I teach the preschool. I love to help kids, to tell them that, hey, you are secure, you are loved, and I'm here for you. Like, they feel safe and free when they come here. Because we are Christians, and we know the love of God. The love that we have, we give it to the kids.
Christ didn't come for those who aren't needy. He came for the needy. And he tells us that those who mourn will be comforted.
Most of the adults in the neighborhood we work in don't read or write and haven't been to school on their own. Our preschool program aims to get the children school ready so they know how to sit in the desk, they know what hygiene's expected at school, they know their letters and numbers, and are ready to enter first grade here.
And we're also equipping and educating them with the life skills and marketplace skills. We want the future Roma church to be financially sustained so that they can go out to the world and witness to their surrounding communities.
We've also started a before and after school program where we pick up kids from their houses.
I think children from the community.
We get them ready for school, make sure they're dressed, send them with lunch.
And they learn now how to pray. They do their homework in the school, and then I take that and bring them to the community. So I'm influencing the parents also by learning the importance of the school.
Roma and our community tend to get married between 14 and 15 years old, so we like to interact and disciple them in this crucial phase of adolescence. We recently had the opportunity to start working specifically with a 10 to 13-year-old girl. Usually it's a craft or a life skill connected to a Bible story, and really just getting to walk with these girls as they go through the transition from childhood to adulthood. We have a kids club program where we have 40 to 50 kids that play learn new skills, hear a Bible story each week,
Our men's ministry program is this gathering where we play dominoes and then have a discovery Bible study lesson where we tell a story, and then a group of men retells the story, and we have a set of questions that really creates this discussion dialogue of who is God, what does that mean for my life?
We want them to know forgiveness. We want them to know grace. We want to see them in love with Christ and worshiping Christ.
We really can't do it apart from Christ going before us. The best work that we can do is to start with prayer. We're cultivating relationships. We're finding people that are interested in the gospel. And in that begins this movement of the Holy Spirit, this church planting movement throughout the whole community. And we'd love to see it all of Tirana and the Balkans and all of Europe. We want Christ to receive the glory for it. We want to be able to stand back and say, this wasn't me. I didn't do something amazing. But we sought the Lord. We laid ourselves before Him. And He did the work in us and through us and in the community.
Man, I'm glad I didn't skip that. Awesome. I think I was actually just thinking as we were watching the video, and this is a little bit of a rephrase of one of the questions I told you guys I wanted to ask you, but I'm not sure if most people in a Western context understand what Roma means or what Roma is. It is not specific to Albania. So would you guys tell us a little about your context, but also can you just help kind of explain that as a concept and as a people?
So the Roma, the best idea, there's not great history because all throughout history, they've been marginalized and been kind of the most hated group. They're actually, according to really big surveys, the most hated minority group in the world in their areas where they live. So they came out of India between 200 and 500 years ago, this people group. Most people think they were probably part of that lowest caste, and then they started migrating to get away from the persecution they were facing in India. And they came up through Europe. The idea is maybe they came through Romania, and that's how they got the name Roma, but it's kind of a old wives' tale. So in Albania, they've lived there, some groups as recent as 100 years, some as long as 200 or 300 years, but they've maintained their own culture in a way that's pretty unique. And they have their own home language. So in their houses, they speak Romane. And then, you know, the trade language is Albanian. So we do all of our speaking with them in Albanian.
So, no. Well, tell us a little bit more about the specific work. I mean, we saw that in the video there, but we were talking about the theme for Storyform is legacy. And one of the things that we talked about that I feel like we share in common is the idea of like what it looks like to commit to a community of people for a long period of time versus, what most of us associate with missionaries is like a mission project, or it's like, you know, going and building a thing or doing a thing. Tell us more about like just the legacy of the length of time that you've been there and how you've seen things change.
Yeah, it's funny talking about legacy. It feels like 10 years is really just a good start. So there's like a lot, so much more time need to be put into that. But when we first came to this community, really praying over the different Roma communities in the city, this is the largest group in the Shkoz neighborhood is what it's called. So really committing to this big population. So several thousand Roma live in this kind of part of the world. So we're just really praying over this community and slowly began to do these programs where we would go in with a pop-up tent into their little ghetto and do a reading program or meeting people and then tear the tent down and go back out. And we realized pretty quickly, like, going in and out of this community was not a very effective way to build relationships. We needed to be a part of the community. We needed to commit to being there. So that's the reason we started the community center. We didn't start out to have a community center. We started out to do church planting, which is still what we're really committed to doing. But having this space where we are a known entity, we are a part of the community, we have a house that's right in the Roma neighborhood, really establishing that footprint and being there now for 10 years has given us the relationship capital to be able to speak into people's lives, to be able to go through hard things or joys with people, really being a part of that community. That would just not happen if we didn't have this space and the length of 10 years being there.
So in the thing we mentioned, we go before school and pick them up at their houses. You saw some of that in their little neighborhood, but That means one of us 5 days a week is there at 6:30, knocking on doors, waking up families, getting kids out of bed. A lot of the families will leave their front door open, so we'll just go into their house, wake up the kids, get them out. The mom or dad may be asleep. They may be asleep right there next to them on the floor, or they may be in a different room. And but what that means is there's just like 1,000 super normal interactions. You know, when you're raising kids, we get to be a part of raising them along with their parents. And there's a lot of days where we're just walking them to school. It's like a 10-minute walk. We walk them to the community center. We pray. We give them breakfast. We usually wash hands. They get a vitamin. And then we walk them over to school. So that's just like normal stuff, you know? I'm brushing girls' hair. We're changing out supplies in the backpack. And then every once in a while, there'll be this moment where you get to like speak Jesus for them, or you get to be there with them, you know, when something really tragic happens. Tragic things happen in their neighborhood more often than most places. So we were there like when one of the girls' dads, when she found out her dad had died, and we were there another time where there was a domestic violence, and we get to be there in those moments and really be Jesus. But it's like those moments, those shining moments when we're like, yes, this is why God has us here. It's after like, you know, 50 early mornings of just mundane feeding kids and taking them to school. And
yeah, I would argue there's nothing normal about providing a meal for them, brushing their hair, changing out the supplies in their backpack. That might be seem normal for us as parents, but it's probably not at all normal for that community.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really awesome. I, when we dedicate kids here at the park, we ask parents to imagine the end. And what we mean by that is like, what does a 18-year-old look like who's graduating from high school and, you know, allegedly becoming an adult? I think that's 27 or 8 now,
allegedly.
But allegedly.
Allegedly, where are
you? Yeah, oh yeah, we got one of those too. like when you guys started in Albania, and if it's changed over the years, that's just tell us that as well. But like, what is your heart? What is your imagination for the kids that are a part of this community center?
One of the little kids, Mohammed, I just love him so much. And when he was born, like into his family, he's really sensitive and just kind of a soft kid. And that just gets him pummeled and talked down to. It's like all the things about him the community wants to change because he will not be a survivor in that community. And I just see little Muhammad and I think, man, he is going to be the future church leader. He is going to be the shepherd in the community, taking up this mantle of compassion and kindness. So what we want to see is this generational change where the kids that were born when we first got there, when they're raising their kids in a different way, and when I meet their kids and their kids like love Jesus and want to go to school and don't have all the diseases from malnutrition, it's that like generational change that we really see is going to have an incredible impact for the gospel. And we really think that the Roma are particularly situated for taking the gospel around the world. They are the foolish of the world that will shame the wise. They are transient. They are not attached to things. They are communal in these different parts of the world. And when they get a hold of the gospel, these little kids like Christy and Muhammad and Clyde, like it is going to be just this radical transformation of the gospel in the community.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the future then. You guys have an interesting fall ahead of you. I know you'll be in the States, like I said, for a few more weeks, then back to Albania, but tell us about what's next for you guys in ministry.
We do have an interesting fall. We're getting to do a sabbatical. So I've been there 10 years. So August, September, October, we'll be on sabbatical in Albania, which we're really excited about. If y'all can pray for rest and rejuvenation from the Lord, this is kind of a draining, line of work. And, you can lose the joy and hope. And I think there's part of us that are like, man, we're really praying that God shows us more of his hope. Because sometimes it can just be really sad, lots of sad stuff. And so that's early fall. And then when we jump back into ministry at the beginning of November, we're taking on a new role with Pioneers. So all of our stuff with House of Hope will stay the same. And then we're taking on a leadership role for the few countries surrounding us with pioneers. So that's kind of a new adventure for us. That's about half of like what we do. We do half leadership and pioneers and half like local ministry. And then we're also hoping to see a church planted. So we've just recently from that men's Bible study, a few of those guys, have been wanting to be baptized for a while, but they would say stuff like, yeah, baptize me because then I will like belong to your group, or baptize me because then I can go to the Catholic church, or that, you know, it's like they weren't really understanding. And just recently, a few of the guys were like, no, I think they really do know Jesus. And they've been asking to be baptized for a while. So we've had a few of the men be baptized, and we have a few of these older teen girls that we have been working with for a long time that I think are following Jesus. And we're hoping to kind of gather these different groups. We feel like it's time to gather them into a church. So that's exciting and hopeful and nerve-wracking, but mostly great.
Yeah, so we've had three kind of iterations of churches that we've started there in the Roma community since we've been there, because really church planting is our focus. So we started with these like house Bible studies, hoping those kind of grow up into full-fledged churches, and that just didn't work out. And then we had this translation project, and after that, kind of gathering the people that did that and going on with the church, and that was really great in the beginning, but then it kind of fizzled out. And we're just longing to see the bride, the Roma Bride of Christ, come forth and what that will be and what that will look like, and to be just this distinct expression of Jesus in that community. And so for us, like, it's amazing to be a part of something that we cannot accomplish and to be heading towards something that we don't know what it looks like. But that's what Jesus is calling us into, this like mysterious, exciting thing that only he can do. And it's just like all along the way, like, do you trust me? Are you going to keep following with me? Will you stick with me even though you don't know what's going on? So in November, we're starting another church plant, and it's going to be so amazing. And just talking about these people that have come to faith from these various ministries or groups or relationships. And part of that is like this momentum of like, okay, there's a group of believers now that like they don't necessarily associate with each other in these ministries or in these relationships. What is that supposed to be? Well, it's supposed to be a church. So for them, like belonging now to a group together, like, I'm so excited about it. I have no idea what it's going to look like or what Jesus is going to do, but I'm very sure it's going to happen. And yeah, it's super exciting.
That's fantastic. I wanted to end on a question that we talked about on Friday, but Allison, you commented on the journey that your family's been on and how, you know, so many steps of that journey have been accompanied by fear, amongst a whole bunch of other emotions. So for any of us looking to take even one small step into ministry, I think fear is often the thing that holds us back. So how have you guys seen God move in your lives and your ministry despite fear being a real thing?
Yeah, I would say I still battle fear like daily, almost daily, when it's like, I need to go in back into the Roma neighborhood. And maybe there was a fight there last time we were there. And I'm like, God, if I go in again, like, are you going to be faithful again? Is it going to be okay again? Or, I mean, I mentioned just the worst possible thing happening of not getting to go to Greece. And I really still hold on to that because we are so clearly made to be in Albania, and I never would have chosen Albania. And I feel like, you know, it's meditating on the ways God's been faithful. But I would say in the like super daily minute details is like, you know, Jacob got asked to be an elder at our church in Albania. And I was afraid, like, that's another night a week that he's gone. Are we going to have the energy to do another thing? Is this going to be okay for our family? Is it going to be too much time away from the kids? Just all the normal kinds of fears. And obviously, you got to weigh out some of those concerns. But in the end, feeling like, yes, this is what God wanted, and then trusting that he will make the time work. He'll make the moments with the kids work. He'll make other, letting God work out the details that feel like the things that are stopping me from doing whatever I know he's asking me to do. So not feeling like I've got to have it all figured out. If God's leading us into this, then those things will figure themselves out.
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways, like, fear brings us to the end of our own capacity. And that's just Jesus's invitation all the time. So for us, like, being missionaries, I can get this sense of like, okay, God, I already trusted you with this big thing. Like, I checked that box. Like, now it's like just smooth sailing. And Jesus is so kind of just continuing to invite us deeper and deeper in this relationship of trust and dependence upon him. And it's still scary and it's still hard, and that we never get over that. There is no like pedestal of we have accomplished this by any means. It's still scary all the time.
Yeah, but I think you're right. That's when you know you're relying on Jesus. Like, that's when Jesus has to show up. So it is also exciting.
Yeah. I found too over the years, like, the when you take a small step and then you see God take care of it, the next step can be like slightly bigger. Yeah. And you're a little more like, okay, I can go a little bit more. But the fear never really leaves. It's just that the steps kind of get bigger, maybe, that you take along the way. Mm-hmm. Well, how can we pray for you guys specifically in the weeks to come and in the months to come?
Firstly, just continue to pray for our family. I mean, God is just so kind in blessing us with our four kids and our marriage. That is not something to be taken lightly. I mean, the spiritual warfare that happens in our family, in our community, around us, like attacking that is so real. So pray for our family, pray for our kids, that the Lord would impact their lives, that they would meet Jesus on a regular basis and love him. That's the first one. The second one, you can pray for the church plant that's happening in November. Just this idea of stepping off a cliff of obedience. It really feels like that. So pray for the Roma leadership, pray for the form, what that's going to look like. Pray for the Roma church. What else?
Yeah.
Nailed it. Huh? Did he nailed it?
Yeah, that's great. Pray for those things. Okay. Yeah. Just pray for us. Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay. Yeah, awesome. Okay, I'm going to invite our worship leaders to join me back up on stage. And then let me pray for you guys. We'll close out our worship benediction. And then if you guys could post up in the back by the park sign.
Can I add in one more
please?
Thing? Okay,
yeah.
This is not maybe a prayer. I'm jumping back in. This is just a plug. If you want to come live in Albania, it's a really amazing place. Or if you know anyone that might want to come for a year, our kids' school is always recruiting. You can do ministry in English for a year and teach at a school or help out coach sports at the school. So if you have even an inkling of like, this might be fun, or if you know somebody maybe graduating college, reach out.
Awesome.
Lots of great opportunities.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, like I said, Jacob and Allison will be in the back after. I'd love for you to stop by and say hi to them, encourage them. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to close out with a little bit of worship. Father, thanks for today. Thank you so much for Jacob and Allison and for their family and their faithfulness for all of these years, Lord. I'm just so grateful for a story that starts with Greece and then turns to Albania, and then we just see fruit after fruit after fruit. So often, God, I'm just so thankful that the path that we think you're taking us on, you often change, and you do it for even greater reward, even greater blessing. And so, Father, I just thank you that Jacob and Allison are a testimony today of that faithfulness, and I thank you for the way that you formed them, protected them. I pray in the season to come that you give them everything that they need, finances, prayers, encouragement, and support. We ask these things in the precious name of Christ. Amen.